a time, there was a poor miller who had three sons. When the miller died, he left them everything he had in the world, which wasn't much. To the eldest son, he left his mill. To the second son, he left his donkey. But to the youngest son, all he could leave was a cat. A cat, said the poor boy. What good is a cat? He was very sad. Now, hold on, said the cat. One of the first things you noticed about this cat was that he could talk. Hold on, he said. You get me a bag with a string around the top and a pair of boots, and I'll show you that things are not as bad as they appear. That seemed an odd request for a cat, a pair of boots, but this was an odd cat. So the miller's son got Puss a bag, an old laundry bag, I guess, and he scraped together enough money to buy him a little pair of boots. They were shiny black, with red heels and fancy tops, and I can tell you Puss was a proud, high-stepping cat when he put them on. The first thing he did was to take his bag and go out into a field, where he knew there were a lot of rabbits. He put some carrots in the bag and spread it out on the ground. And then he lay down beside it and pretended he was dead. Well, you know rabbits. They have no more sense than to fall for a trick like that. Sure enough, one of them came sniffing around the bag. And when he smelled the carrots, he crawled inside after it. Puss just lay there with one eye half open, not making a sound. But inside he was going, yeah. And the minute he saw that rabbit's little white tail disappear into the bag, whoop! He pounced on it and pulled the string tight. And there he had it. Now, an ordinary cat might have taken the rabbit to a butcher, sold him for a small profit, and been satisfied with that. But not Puss. He was a cat with big ideas. He did everything in a big way. He flung the bag over his shoulder and started off to see the king, no less. The king was in a throne room just killing time when a sergeant-at-arms came in. Yes, said the king, what is it? Cat to see you, said the sergeant-at-arms. A cat? A cat? Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle, the king said. Show this cat in. The sergeant gave a signal. A door opened. There was a fanfare. And in marched Puss, a fine figure of a cat in his shiny new boots. He laid the rabbit he had caught at the king's feet and made a low bow and said, O king, live forever. Thanks, said the king, but what have we here? I have brought you, sire, a rabbit, said Puss, with the compliments of my master, the noble Marquis of Carabas. Now, there was no such person as the Marquis of Carabas. That was just the name Puss made up for his master because he thought it sounded grand. But the king was very pleased. And when Puss came the next day with a present of some partridges that he had bagged, the king began to think this Marquis of Carabas must be a pretty fine fellow and a good man to know. Yeah. By the way, you better go turn over the record. I'll wait. Puss knew that the king was going for a drive along the river with his daughter, who incidentally was the most beautiful princess in the world. He went running to his master and said, Master, this is your big chance. Go jump in the river. His poor master was feeling pretty low about that and had half a mind to jump in the river anyway, so he did as he was told. Puss hid his clothes under a rock. When the royal coach came driving by, the cat began to hoot and holler.
Oh, man overboard! Help! Help! The Marquis of Carabas is drowning! Immediately the king cried, Halt!
And he ordered his guards to go to the rescue of the Marquis. While they were pulling the poor fellow out of the river, Puss told the king that some burglars had stolen his master's clothes while he was in swimming, so he had nothing to wear. A fine thing, said the king, and he sent for one of his own best suits for the Marquis. Now, the miller's son had been no Marquis. He was a good-looking young fellow. When he got into the king's clothes, he was so doggone handsome, the princess fell head over heels in love with him. You know, Papa, she said, I think it would be nice if we invited the Marquis to ride in our coach with us.
By all means, said the king. Shove over.
So the miller's son climbed in, and the coach started gaily off again. And ahead of it went Puss, strutting along in his fine new boots. It was really a glorious day. The king enjoyed looking at the countryside, and the princess and the Marquis enjoyed looking at each other. Puss ran on ahead, and presently he came to a beautiful big meadow where some farmers were mowing. Puss swaggered up to one of the men and pretended to be very tough. Who's in charge here, he demanded. The man replied, I am. Puss looked him in the eye. Well, listen, bub, he said. I'm telling you this for your own good. The king is coming by here in a minute, and when he does, you tell him that this medal belongs to the Marquis of Carabas. Because if you don't, he said, I'll have your heads chopped off. All of you. The farmer said, yes, sir. When the king came along and inquired who owned that fine meadow, the farmers all said, The Marquis of Carabas, yes, sir. A little farther along, they came to a rich cornfield that stretched as far as the eye could see. And there was were reapers by the roadside harvesting the corn. But Puss got there first, and he told the men, "If you don't tell the king that this cornfield belongs to the Marquis of Carrabas, I'll see to it personally that you're all chopped up as fine as mincemeat." So when the king leaned out of his coach and asked the men, "Who owns all this?" they replied at once, "The Marquis of Carrabas, lock, stock, and barrel." And the king was much impressed. Puss was well ahead of him by this time, and he came at last to a stately castle which belonged to a rich retired ogre. He owned all the land for miles around, and people lived in terror of him. But do you think Puss was afraid? Huh? If you want to find out, go change the record while I light a cigar. Let's see now. Where were we? Oh, yes. At the ogre castle. Puss didn't like this part. He walked up to the castle and rapped bravely on the door. And a mighty voice inside bellowed, "Who's there?" When the ogre opened the door and saw that it was only a cat with boots on, he laughed. "Yeah. Come on in," he said. "Come on in and sit down. What do you know? What do you?" Well, they talked about one thing and another. How the country was going to pot, and the taxes so high a man could hardly make both ends meet. And finally, Puss said slyly, "You know, I heard something about you." "What did you hear about me?" the ogre asked. "Oh, it probably isn't true," Puss said. "You know how these stories get around. But I heard you were so powerful that you could change yourself into any kind of animal you want to." "Of course, I don't believe it." "You don't believe it, eh?" said the ogre. "Stand back." And all of a sudden, he was a roaring lion. Puss was so frightened, he jumped right out of his boots. "I believe you," he cried. "Nice lion, nice lion." The lion laughed, and in a flash, he was only an ogre again. "That's not a bad trick," Puss admitted. "Not bad," the ogre said. "I'd like to see anybody else do it." "Well," Puss said, "if you wanted to do a real trick." "No, but you couldn't do it." "I couldn't do what?" the ogre asked. "No, you couldn't do this," Puss said. "Listen," the ogre replied, "you name it and I'll do it." "All right," said Puss. "I'll bet you my boots you can't change yourself into an animal as small as a rat." "A rat," the ogre said. "That's nothing. You watch and I'll turn myself into a mouse." And by George, he did. He turned into a mouse and ran around the floor squealing. That was just what Puss was waiting for. He sprang at the mouse and caught him and gobbled him up. And that was the end of the ogre. But when the king and the princess and Puss's master came driving up to the castle, Puss ran out to greet them. "Welcome," he cried. "Welcome to the castle of the Marquis of Carrabas." "What?" said the king. "This fine castle belong to the Marquis who?" The king got out of the coach and looked about it. "As pretty a piece of property as I ever saw," he thought. And to the miller's son, he said, "My lord Marquis, if you don't marry my daughter, then right away it'll be your own fault." That was all the Marquis needed. The princess and he were married that very same day, and they lived happily ever after. As for Puss, he became a great lord, and never chased mice anymore, except now and then for fun. This is the Let's Pretend story of the Tinderbox. Pretenders? I know you're all waiting to get started with our story, The Tinderbox, but Lance, you look particularly anxious.
It's just because I've already thought of a way to travel to Let's Pretend in our story.
Well, let's not waste time then. Let's hear what you have in mind.
I think it'd be a lot of fun to get into kangaroos' houses and let them take us.
Not bad. They're great jumpers. And maybe with some of our magic, they can jump us all the way to Let's Pretend. Emily, can you take care of the magic?
Magical animal trainer, one kangaroo apiece. 1, 2, 3. Aren't they cute?
Okay. All set, everyone. Into the pouch of this kangaroo. And away we go to the story of the Tinderbox.
Hey,
In the days when enchantments could happen to anybody, and witches were as common as peppers, two soldiers were walking down a country road. The wars were over. They'd been mustered out of the army the day before. And while they were both happy about that, Soldier Thane was rather down in the mouth about something else. His companion, Soldier Buell, sympathized with him.
It's too bad, Thane. You should have had a reward for saving the general's life as you did.
It's not so much not getting a reward, Buell. It's the unfairness of it. Just because my father offended the king years ago, the king takes it out on me. Doesn't even give me an honorable discharge from the army.
Unfair is the word, all right, Thane. But I still say you should have had gold. I'm a hankering to see the world, and if you were rich... Hello, we have company.
Good day to you, soldier.
Good day, madam.
And where might you be going to on this fine day?
Well, I'll tell you, old lady. We are out to seek our future brides. Are you free and interested?
Stop it, Buell. Good madam, we are but lately released from the army. We go no place in particular, but wherever adventure may lead us.
Well, so you seek adventure. Then it's lucky you met me.
Don't tell us you can offer adventure, beautiful one.
Don't offend her, Buell. Good madam, you mean you can tell us of some exciting or profitable mission?
I can tell you, but not your loose-jawed friend here.
Me? Can it be she doesn't care for me?
Hush, Buell. Good madam, if you know of a rewarding adventure, we would be grateful to hear of it.
Then listen carefully. Just here by the road is a well that has gone dry. Could you manage to climb down it on this rope I have here and fetch me something that I dropped in it yesterday?
Why, yes. With Buell's help, I think I could do that.
Excellent. Then, at the bottom, you will find all the gold and silver you can carry.
What? Gold and silver?
That sounds wonderful indeed. Is it yours, old lady?
No, it is yours for the fetching. But wait, you will also find a huge dog with eyes as big as dinner plates. His name is Greatest, and he guards the treasure.
Ah, so that's the catch.
No, there's no need to fear him. Take my apron. Here. Command the dog to lie down on it. Then take all the gold you can carry, and your blabbermouth friend and I will pull you back up again.
Well, who'd have thought it to look at the old crone?
Buell, there's just one thing, good madam. What is it I am to bring you?
Yes, I almost forgot to tell you. It's a little tinder box I lost yesterday. It's not worth anything, really, but I'm fond of it. Bring that up to me, and you can keep all the gold you can carry for yourself. Agree?
Agree.
An easy errand, if you ask me.
But I didn't. Now then, soldier, here's the rope. You'll tie it around your waist, so... Then down the well you go, and your adventure begins, Soldier Thane.
Pull away!
Hey, is the gold really down there, Thane?
Pull me up!
Pull, you stupid! Come on, pull!
My word, you're an awfully eager old lady. And all you want is a tinderbox?
Stop talking and pull him up.
Easy, Doc.
One more pull. And you're up. Where's the gold thing? Where's the gold?
Did you find it as I said, Soldier Thane?
I did indeed, good madam. There was a huge dog, but I put down your apron as you told me, and...
What about the gold?
Still, the tinderbox. Did you get the tinderbox?
I did, but say, there's something funny about this little box, good madam. As soon as I picked it up...
Give it to me! Give it to me!
Certainly, in just a second. It's such a curious old thing, I want to see how it...
Stop it! Don't strike it! Don't!
Well, what in the name of all the fiends? Where did she go? And where did that dog come from? He's immense.
Why, that's Greatest, the watchdog from the bottom of the well. Now I'm really baffled. It seemed as though he disappeared when I picked up the tinderbox down in the well. But how did he get here?
I am the guardian of the tinderbox.
What dog talks? Oh, my hat, what next?
Wait a minute, Buell. If he talks... Let's try to find out what's happened. Look here, Greatest.
Nice doggy.
Why did you rush at that harmless old woman who sent me down the well? And where did she go?
She was not a harmless old woman. She was a wicked witch. And she used her own black magic to disappear when I rushed at her. I did so because I am the guardian of the tinderbox, and she would have used it for evil. Now I give it to your keeping, master.
Now he's gone. Vanished into thin air. What does it mean?
Duel, my friend, I couldn't begin to answer. Looks as though we ran into some real magic this time.
But see here,
there's something that hasn't disappeared.
Gold. Look, here in my coat pockets, my trousers, and my shirt pockets, too. Dozens and dozens of gold pieces.
They are real and solid. Did they all vanish?
Well, just in case, maybe we'd better hurry and get some return for them. How about it, friend Buell? Shall we proceed to the nearest inn, book the best rooms, and live like kings while we can?
I always said you were a great fellow, Thane. I always said King Mindar treated you unfairly. I was
all... All right, you'll share in it all. Come on, Buell, to the inn.
Well, it was fun while it lasted, Thane. Only I still don't see why the landlord had to take away all our fine clothes.
Well, these old uniforms feel awfully scratchy and uncomfortable now. And I can't say I like this room where he moved us, either.
Well, I'm certainly not staying up in this old attic. Where's my knapsack? Curse it, there aren't even any candles up here.
Hey, wait a minute, Yule. The witch's old tinderbox.
The tinderbox, hey. I'd forgotten all about it.
So had I. But when I struck it before, just like this...
What is your wish, master?
That dog! How could we have forgotten?
Greatest! Do you always appear when I strike the tinderbox?
I am the guardian of the tinderbox. What is your wish, master?
Don't waste time, Thane. Ask for something. Money, new clothes.
How about it, Greatest? Could you get us some new outfits and fill our pockets with gold again?
They are yours, master.
Well, I'll be... So they are. Look at us. Say, I can keep that date with Lady Lucinda after all. Thanks, Greatest. Now, how about getting this room cleaned up?
Wait a minute, Buell. Do you suppose this dog can grant any wish?
He's doing all right so far. What's on your mind?
Remember, I swore that someday I'd get even with King Mindar for discharging me from the army as he did?
That's right. So, hey, how about asking Greatest to bring him over here to clean up this place. Would you dare?
You think I'm joking, Buell, but wait. The king punished me because of a quarrel with my father.
Well, he has children. There's the young Prince Alwyn.
Not to mention the beautiful Princess Ilsa.
Oh, but I couldn't ask for her.
You couldn't ask for either. You're going too far now, Thane.
You think so? Fetch me the prince, Greatest.
I'm getting out of here. Besides, I have a date. I'll be on my way.
All right. See you later, Buell.
As you commanded, Master, the Princess Ilsa is here.
The Princess?
Oh, dear me. Where am I?
Good heavens, it is the Princess. But I asked for the Prince, Greatest.
What is this place? And who are you, stranger?
Forgive me, Master. I will take her back at once and...
No. Wait a minute, Greatest. The Princess is beautiful.
Now the dog is gone. Oh, it's a dream. That's what.
You think so, do you? My name, by the way, is Soldier Thane, son of Thorson.
Soldier Thane, son of Thorson?
The name means nothing to you, Ilsa?
Should it? But you call me Ilsa without giving me my proper title, Your Highness.
It's my belief people should earn the right to titles like that. Get to work now.
Work? Oh, this dream gets more fantastic every minute. Get to work doing what?
Sweep the floor.
Sweep the floor. All right. I'll need a broom then. Ah, here's one. I can sweep, you see. Better than most princesses. Isn't it lucky Mother taught me to be a good housekeeper? That's always move the chair, she said, so here goes. Oh, hear me. It's heavy.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll move it. There you are, Your Highness.
Oh, thank you. But now you call me Your Highness.
Oh, did I? Well, you're being so cheerful and good-natured, I guess you deserve some respect.
Well, thank you. Now the floor is clean. What next?
Next? Oh, yes. I wanted my boots cleaned. Cleaned them and polished them well.
Chambermaid?
boot blouse.
I wonder what next I'll be doing before I wake up.
Well, you'll wash those shirts and do a good many other chores that will surely make a king's daughter miserable.
But why? Why do you want to make a king's daughter miserable? There, soldier. Your shined boots. Next.
No, no, wait! Oh, she's gone. The rooster crowed and she vanished as quickly as she came. Well, there's another night coming. Funny, though, revenge is different from what I expected. Different, and a good deal more pleasant.
Good morning, daughter. Did you sleep well?
Oh, sister.
Good morning, father, brother. I had the funniest dream last night, and it's still so clear in my mind. It's almost as if it really happened.
Dreams. I like things that are real. But what was your dream, my dear?
Well, I dreamed I was whisked away from the castle on the back of a huge dog.
On the back of a dog? Stop interrupting, Elwyn. Where did the dog take you, Ilsa?
Well, he set me down in the big, dirty loft of an inn somewhere. And then a man, Soldier Thane was his name.
Thane? Soldier Thane?
Why, father, does the name mean anything to you?
No, I guess not, daughter.
Well, how could it? It was just a dream.
Well, anyway, this Soldier Thane ordered me to sweep the floor and clean his boots and launder his shirt. It was too funny.
Curious, very curious.
Oh, father, don't look so worried. It was just a dream.
Or was it?
Elwyn, well, what on earth?
Look at your hands, Ilsa.
My hands? Oh!
What's wrong? Why, my dear, you're pale.
My hands! Look at them! They're covered with blisters!
And look, under her nails, boot blacking.
Great heavens, what can it mean?
It means it wasn't any dream. It was real.
Well, why do you look so pleased, Elwyn? If it really happened... Oh, father, I'm frightened. What if that dog comes again? Father, I'm afraid. Terribly afraid.
Soldier Thane told Greatest to fetch the young prince to his attic room. Instead, Greatest brought the princess. Now, two nights later, heavily guarded in her own rooms at the palace, the princess talks to her young brother, Elwyn.
All right, Elwyn, run along now and go to bed.
Go to bed? When it's more than likely that dog will be back again tonight? I'm staying with the guards and I'm going to see him if it kills me.
For someone who doesn't care much for dreams, you slip off to dreamland very easily, Elwyn.
Well, tonight I'm going to stay awake. I thought last night was going to be my last chance until that guard finally managed to follow you and put a cross on the door where the dog took you.
And then that clever dog put crosses on every door in town, so Father was as far as ever from knowing where Soldier Thane lived.
Well, tonight, if you do your part, Father will find him all right and turn him into mincemeat for what he's done.
Elwyn, don't talk so.
Don't you want that soldier punished? Dragging you off every night by magic? Making a scrub and wash?
He didn't make me scrub or wash last night. We just talked, and really, isn't so horrible.
Huh. Well, I just wish I knew where he got a dog like that. And when Father takes care of him, I want that creature. So you do your part in trapping him tonight, Ilsa.
I will, never fear. I'll do what I'm supposed to. He can't treat a princess so. Even if he isn't really wicked, he must be punished. I'll do my part.
Friend Buell is safely off at a ball. At last, it's time. And here's the tinderbox. I strike it, and...
I am here, Master. What is your wish?
Summon the Princess Ilsa.
Master, she is here.
Oh, Princess, how happy I am to see you. Sit here, please.
Soldier Thane, I warned you last night when you brought me here that you were in danger. You cannot steal the king's daughter and escape punishment.
I am sure of that, Your Highness. But ever since the first night I summoned you, it has not been punishment, I fear.
No? What then?
Oh, Princess Ilsa, it is your forgiveness I want. If you would forgive me for making you sweep and clean as I did, I could face anything.
You are a strange fellow, Soldier Thane. If you regret it, why do you do it?
Let me explain. In the beginning, I did it to revenge myself against your father, the king.
To revenge yourself against the king? You are indeed bold.
Your Highness, he had been very unjust to me. Though I'd served him faithfully, he dismissed me from the army without even a good soldier's commendation.
Oh, no. Why should he do that?
Long ago, my father displeased him in some small way, so he punished me. I wanted to punish him in kind, through one of his children. But, oh, Your Highness, when I saw you, and you were so beautiful and so lovely, doing what I commanded with such good sportsmanship and grace, I found myself miserable. You see, I love you with all my heart, and I will do anything if you will forgive me.
Well, really, I don't know what to say. First you speak of revenge, then of love. I should be outraged. I am, but...
But, Princess Ilsa, what were you going to say? Gone! Oh, a curse on that rooster that crows each night and makes her disappear. Oh, greatest, I didn't send for you.
I know, but as your servant, I must warn you. Tonight, the king used another scheme to trap you. I do not know what trick he used tonight, so I cannot protect you as I did before. You must leave the city at once.
Leave? Oh, no. Impossible.
I warn you, the king's soldiers have already begun to search every house in the city. I know not what they search for.
Look, greatest, go warn friend Buell, wherever he is, not to come back here. No reason he should get caught in this. As for me, I told her I loved her, begged her forgiveness. Let them do what they will with me.
Soldiers back from this search.
Enough, Ilsa. No more appeals on his behalf.
But, Father, when I promised to drop my ring in his room, I didn't know of his loyal service, or that you had dismissed him as you did. Oh, if I'd known, I never would have left my ring.
But you did leave it, and that's that.
All right, soldier, this way.
The soldiers have found Ilsa's ring and the man who stole her away.
Good, splendid. Bring him forward, Counselor.
All right now, my man. Move along. Here he is, Your Majesty.
Yes, Your Highness. It is I.
Your trial will be a short one. Counselor, open the doors into the courtyard so that all may witness.
Silence, everyone. Silence.
Soldier Fane. You are accused of using magic to spirit the Princess Ilsa from her castle. More than that, you forced her to do the menial duties of a maidservant. Are you guilty or not guilty?
I am guilty of all of that, Your Majesty.
May I... Silence! I find you guilty of gross insult to Her Highness the Princess Ilsa, and I sentence you to be hanged by the neck until dead.
Father, don't. I beg of you.
Ask him about the dog.
Silence.
Safari.
Elvin, be still. I have to tell Father. I love him.
What? What was that?
Huh? Ilsa, my princess. Oh, bless you. Did you really say you loved me?
Yes. Before the whole world, I say it. I love Soldier Fane, Father.
A common soldier? Oh, this is disgraceful. Impossible. Soldiers, take him. Hang him.
Oh, no, Father, no help. Pity.
One moment, I pray, Your Highness.
Well, what is it?
Since I am to die, may I have one more draw at my pipe? It will be the last one, you know.
Well, all right, but be quick.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Here's the light, soldier.
Never mind, Counselor. I have this little tinder box with me. It will do.
Oh, what is your wish, Master?
The dog, at last.
Scatter these soldiers. Rush them. Bite them. Keep after them. Disperse the crowd.
They have gone. What next, Master?
At the throat of the king.
Wait, oh, what do you want me to do? Anderson, make him stop.
Very well, greatest. Let him be a moment. Now then, Your Majesty, I was wrong. I admit it. And on my knees, I asked pardon of your daughter, the princess. But you were wrong, too, when you dismissed me as you did, without even an honorable discharge. because you had a grudge against my father.
All right. I was wrong. What do you want?
I want to devote my life to being worthy of your daughter's love.
Ilsa, do you really love this common soldier?
Yes, Father, with all my heart.
But you can't marry a commoner.
You can make him a knight, Father. You can give him the title and honor he truly deserves for his bravery.
All right. I surrender. Soldier Fane, I knight you here and now. And you will take your place as commanding general of the army.
Thank you, Your Majesty. But the most important thing is still Ilsa's hand. Will you set the wedding day now?
Oh, very well. Tomorrow. Ilsa!
Fane!
Hey, the most important thing is greatest. Fane, you're getting married, running the army. Will you have time to take care of him now?
I hereby appoint you assistant keeper to greatest, Alwyn. How's that? All right. Now we'll all live happily ever after. ¶¶